Okay, time is 12:12. Date is 30th of July. I'd like to call the Port of Newport regular monthly commission meeting to order. Okay, changes to the agenda? Any changes or anything?
We just sent an amended agenda, which included change, which is the election commission. Just want to make it clear that that's an amended agenda. It's not.
Okay, so we'll be following the amended agenda. Any public comment heard?
I haven't heard of any public comment.
Any items that are removed from the consent calendar? Anyone would like to approve the consent calendar as written?
I just want to make one point. I did not include the joint meeting minutes because we didn't have that available. We just got that today, so we'll include it on the next meeting.
Okay.
The joint meeting with the city.
The city.
Although people can find that through the city website as well, so.
That will be on the August meeting?
Yeah, that will be on the August meeting.
Great. Okay, we're going to go into old business. Accounts paid, or actually, I need a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
You're on mute.
Oh, I am?
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Actually, can I make one suggestion? Since we're getting into the new fiscal year and the election of commissioners is on the new business, maybe we should do that first and elect the.
Oh, good.
Because then we're starting a new fiscal year with elected officials.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're gonna skip ahead to new business, election of commission officers. Commission, anyone would like to make a comment? Anyone would like to suggest a slate?
As we have right now, Jim Burke is a commission president. Gil Sylvia is the vice president. Walter Chuck is the secretary. And Kelly and Jeff are just listed as commissioners.
Okay. So Kelly or Jeff, would you like to recommend a motion for a slate?
I recommend we leave. The president as you, and I recommend that we leave it the same. I have no recommendation for changing it.
Jeff?
Jeff does.
Jeff, can you hear us?
He might be frozen.
He's frozen.
No, his eyes are blinking.
Okay.
Jeff, can you hear us?
Accounts paid. Any questions on accounts paid? Page 39, Fallow Strong, lease amendment.
Yeah, so as you can see on my staff report, Fallow Strong has been a tenant of the port for a few years, and we're actually, the lease expired on its term back in September, and we have been working with Sarah on updating or amending or extending the lease, in which we did come up with a few other things besides extending the lease. We also had made a few changes to the lease rates, as well as adding this additional ground space, because in a way they have sort of been using that space for the extending the mats, and just to help the business in the event that we get so busy and then they have no places to stretch the mats, that will guarantee that they will have space. So I don't know if you had any questions about the changes that I made, but I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I think it's a good move on all parts. Any questions, Jeff?
I just say that, you know, as we have these leases coming up, I think we need to make sure that we start updating them and, you know, to current market values. And I think we're behind on quite a few of them, and slowly get them back up to what we should be charging.
And I do reflect that as to moving forward, re-updating. You never want to take an existing tenant and increase their reach to a point where you're running them out of business. I don't think that's a fair thing to do. So what we worked out here is to make sure that through the next few years, we have a way to make sure that we are in market value.
Right.
So we'll look at other leases, you know, in the coming years and make sure that we are going to be getting there. So that's what we negotiated at this extension.
Great. Motion.
Yourselves, because you know we're not a part of that agreement. So, but they agreed after a lot of work trying to even involving legislators and everything, because obviously we want to protect our rights to have poor dog on there. We are able to get the upland owner to actually apply for the lease. Then the SL would say okay, and then they would assign that over to us. And just to protect those rights, we, although it is in a way protected under the deed, we found that the best way is to put all in writing through a memorandum of understanding. And the SL wants to see that too, because that helps them. And that basically this memorandum of understanding is reflecting all those things that that we're talking about here. And the Goldlands are actually the owners of the Clearwater restaurant, just for mm-hmm. clarification. Mm-hmm. So the upland property is where the restaurant is. That doesn't stop the Goldlands from extending their own leasehold. And if we want to do something there too, we can also work with the SL, but we're just going to talk to each other and make sure that we don't create a problem for each other as we make any modifications in future leases with the SL.
Does anyone need any clarification or have any follow-up questions for Paula regarding the MOU? None heard. Entertain a motion to approve.
I recommend a motion allowing the Port of Newport and Hans and Janelle Goplin to enter into a random of understanding as attached, or memorandum as attached.
Thank you, Kelly. Mm-hmm. We have a second from the commission.
A second.
Okay, we have a second from Walter Chuck. All in favor? Aye. 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 So moved.
Actually, there's one more old item, the item E.
Oh, sorry, I skipped ahead. The power pedestals, E.
Yes.
It's 51.
That is actually an Aaron item, but Aaron had to be out of state today, so I'm going to try to help with this. And basically, as we finish the engineering work at Port Dock 3 and 5, we're now entering the phase where we want to be ready to do the actual work. And we're trying to get ahead of ourselves, making sure we have all the equipment we need. And if we don't order the pedestal now, maybe by September, October, when we finish to do the work, they may not be available for us to install. There is some back and forth between the city and this company that we're ordering the equipment to make sure that those are listed and what is available or allowable, that is saying, to be installed. So what we did, we worked out with the, our attorney to make sure we include some language that should them not get the permission, you know, to have this cold, they call a ETL, UL in this thing, I guess. So this UL, if they don't get the approval, then this is all null and void. We basically don't have to obtain that. So we're only going to be buying this if indeed they can get their approval. It is a pretty costly, you know, product, so excuse me. We definitely want to make sure that that we had this language, but we should be okay according to the attorney. So I don't know if you have any questions on that.
No, I do think it's I do like that idea of upgrading to the smart plugs. I think that's real wise to take that extra step. So I'm pleased with that.
Paul, do you know if the old twist-on plugs will work with the smart plugs? Or do you know, like, are they
I would only if it would, from my recollection, talk into it. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, some of the vault owners will may have to do some upgrading on their own. It's not super expensive to upgrade them, but it will really save everyone a lot of trouble by updating our current pedestals and the way we envision the
anchorage. I think the anchorage increase for the larger vessels and the safety margin with the smart plugs is great. And I really like the last paragraph in this agreement that gives us the out, the option to either keep the order further or cancel the order at July 1. That's a good clause to have in there in case things change between now and then. Hopefully they deliver way before then, but I think it's a great clause to have.
When they find out if they're not compatible when they're redoing their MLUs, we should just let them know that, hey, when we upgrade, you're going to need to upgrade too, and that way they'll be able to add some previous notice.
Yeah, we will be working with the boat owners, you know, when it's going to be needed. I know Aaron's been working on that, and so we'll make sure of it.
I think many of them are fully aware of
Yeah, unfortunately, any time you upgrade anything, it comes with some issues that you have to deal with, some glitches that I think this is unfortunately one of them, that at the end it will be safer for everybody. So we also have some requirements as we are updating things to get things into the new code.
Yeah, it's a great modernization.
So for that.
The funds for these are coming off the increase.
That's correct. We have, this is one of the items we are using, that increase that we agreed with the fishermen. At the end, I think the whole project is going to be close to $1 million. Yeah, the engineering and the actual installation by the time setting up.
It's a good use of the restricted funds, and it's a good reason to have set up that account. Does anyone have anyone make a motion?
So I move that the approving the GM to contract with Eaton sole source for the power pedestals to purchase 58 marine power pedestals in an amount not to exceed $114,630.40.
Well, can I add, could you add or designate?
GM or designee. Amend my motion to recommend a motion approving the GM or designee to contract with Eaton, who is the sole source for this power pedestal, to purchase 58 marine power pedestals in an amount not to exceed $114,630.40.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Walter. Thank you, Mark. That's a good point.
I'll second.
Okay, Kelly seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so moved, and we will go on to new business. We are now to page 53, intergovernmental agreement with the State of Oregon Marine Board, Oregon State Marine Board.
This is, again, another Aaron item. He was working on this, although they didn't work on this as well, but we have been working with the Oregon State Marine Board, along with all the courts, quite frankly. They provided us an IGA that it put a lot of burden on us. And so we went back through the Oregon Public Courts Association and hired an attorney out of Portland that deals with a lot of this kind of stuff and trying to implement some language that didn't put as much burden, because originally they really they would give us some reimbursements for some of their own folks, but then they would require us to do all this crazy stuff that would cost us money or could cost us money. So anyway, at the end, I think we came up with a better agreement. It still puts some burden on the courts. There are a few things that we have to do, but at the end, I don't think it's a bad agreement. And we have, we thought, there's only so much money available. I think they are getting some money from the federal government, that, not that much, but it will be split with all the boards around that need it. And I, if you start talking to all, especially the coastal board, every year everybody's spending anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000 in abandoned boats. Anyway, hold on, I think my battery's dying here. I get technology, right? I apologize, I don't have my computer to die before. Okay. So at the end, we're going to be able to make the request every year, and we have to provide that information ahead. And if they have the funds available, then they'll provide us the funds for anything that we have removed out of our usually for recreational arena. And if they don't have the funds, there's not much we can do there, and it will come from the port's pocket, which it has been the case and throughout the years. Every year we spend, and this year we're already over 50,000.
Last year we're over 50.
And last year, this year we already spent over 20-some thousand, but we already have, what, three or four boats out there, most likely when we should be.
That's this calendar year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This calendar year, yeah.
So anyway, so the IGA basically allow us to get some reimbursement. It's not going to be for all, but some.
Mm-hmm. Every little bit helps. I think it's a great thing. I know we're designated a clean marina. Is there anything that we need to think about as far as complying with clean marina standards?
No, we already have the designation. We already have some requirements. It's just that they may be more, you know, on top of it, but it is just something we have to stay on top of. Mm-hmm.
So I was looking into the clean marinas. It looks like the recreational side is has been certified.
Yeah, we
do. We need to certify the commercial side.
You know, I don't know. Typically, you do that on commercial because this is a process through the Oregon State Marine Board, and I'll look into it. I haven't heard of any clean marina that is commercial, but I could be completely wrong. Then there may be. I'll look into it.
Okay.
Would anyone like to make a motion this time?
I'll make the motion.
Kelly, make the motion.
So I recommend a motion to approve the attached intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon State Marine Board for abandoned and derelict vessel removal.
Okay, thank you. Second, I see Jeff's hand. Jeff seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So, thank you. Okay, we're going to go into item two, new business, report of Toledo Intergovernmental Agreement, which has in page 73.
Okay, so that one, it almost sort of a follow-up from what we just dealt with here with the IGA, with the OSMB, because as we remove the abandoned, the derelict boats out of our marina, we got to take them somewhere, and usually we're constantly working with the Port of Toledo to do that. As you recall, recently we brought some items here to work through some old invoices and how the whole process was managed as to the boats, so the vessels getting into their yard and being worked on in excess from what the commissioners had to approve. And that's been a difficult one because we really want to make sure that every time we take something over there, that if there are some issues, that they bring it to us before they continue the work. As you may see here, There's not much we can do about the towing and the storage of the boat while it's there, because those are the prices. It's more the actual service once the vessel is at their yard. We actually negotiated a better rate for the storage of the port, because sometimes it may be a while we're working with the boat owner. Mm-hmm. In the port, you know, who's going to be responsible for. In some cases, the boat owner will be responsible. We just don't want the boat to sink while it's at our marina. So we, you know, as a precaution, we may remove it. And if the boat owner go away and we have to be stuck with it, then again, then our choice is to work with OSMB on a reimbursement. But during that time, we can go ahead and tell the Port of Toledo to move forward with the project. I did put in a 20% contingency here above their estimate. Sometimes they may not know what they're going to find until they open up stuff. And sometimes it's difficult for us to wait a whole month to come back to commission. Mm-hmm. So what I would like to do is be able to enter into a contract with the Port of Toledo when they have, if the port approved to remove a boat that costs $20,000 but then end up costing $22,000, you know, that we can still proceed without having to come back. We can certainly let you know that that's what ended up being, but we can proceed with the project. If it's much more, then we'll bring it back to you.
Questions from the commission?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we keep track of those costs, because in the past we've had issues.
Absolutely.
With unintended costs. And just make sure that we don't keep hitting the contingency every time we put something up there.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons of the agreement, that they have to notify us.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we get that on there. In the past we've had issues up there. So.
This is great due diligence on the side of both ports, I think, to make sure that we don't run into that again.
Exactly.
I think you and Mark. Motion? From the commission?
I move that we allow the general manager to execute the intergovernmental agreement between the Port of Newport and Port of Toledo as attached.
Thank you, Walter. Second. Jeff seconds. Really close. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. One clarification on the rates. I did get on the top of the rates, this is per hour. And we're going to include that as per hour. So that's one clarification to make. But yeah,
that's the way I read it.
But yeah. I did
not call out.
But Lorna wants to make sure that we have that.
Okay, thank you. That's all the new business, and most of it's in the staff report, but we'll go to staff reports.
Yeah, so there are a few things here that I a lot of it, I don't know if you want me to go item by item. As you know, the 4.5 were mostly done. We're just gonna, in August, we're gonna finish up a few things on the electrical site that was back order. But you can't even see that is not completed. We are continuing working with the Army Corps on the feasibility study. This is a long process and we'll see what it'll take. You already know about that port Dock 5 and Dock 3 engineering and work. We just approved that item. We are working right now on the port Dock 7 on that interim work related to basically to figure out how safe the port Dock 7 is. Mm-hmm. What can we do to mitigate some of the issues we've had with the loss of the parts of the dock until we actually are able to rebuild the dock. Remember, we're worried about the next winter and so on. So we got one quote so far. I know we should be getting a couple quotes here this coming week. We actually received $51,000 from our insurance for that, what is that, 68 linear feet that we lost. So we will continue following along, make sure that, you know, we can continue allowing people to use that dock, but it is safe to do so. If there's some temporary things we can do, some pilings we can add or whatever, I guess we'll find out through having an engineer looking at it. So this is coming out of that money. If you recall, we're putting aside now every year, when this is starting this year, with $50,000 to start doing some inspection around our province to avoid the big review with the out here with a sinkhole. Yeah. You know, we didn't lose, but we spent over $300,000 to fix that problem. And if we have foreseen that coming, maybe we would have done some mitigation. And just FYI, we are finding out sinkholes around the area. They're not as bad and it shouldn't cost as much, but those are the type of issues we're going to be looking at it. But meanwhile, since we already have an issue over 4.7, we're using some of those funds for that purpose right now.
I think those assessments are really important for everything. When do we want to have that completed, so we have time to apply for the in-water window? What's the goal for that application?
You're talking about
whatever we're going to do at 7.
We should bring that to the commission, the August commission, to move forward, and then we'll know better. You know, hopefully some of those shouldn't take too long for doing the work. As to the big project, we're still working on it, on the grants. We've been talking to EDA, Business Oregon, and hopefully, I really think we should do the plan this year, no matter what, if we get the grant or not. And I think we should get at least $50,000 from Business Oregon. There's a chance we need to get $100,000 that they need combined different sources of funds. They usually don't do that, but they have done. I think there's an example that said, well, we don't mind being the first one either, if it's possible, but we'll see. Melissa from Business Oregon is working with us right now on trying to figure that out. But as soon as we can, we will be, there's a recent EDA grant out there. Our grant writer is looking into it. We'll see what we can do. Again, I mentioned the sinkholes already. We're just finishing up the roller steel wall. We also need to figure out what that will do for us. Don't know yet. You've seen the MOU for Port Dock 1. I am working still with 343 Southwest Bay Boulevard property owner, again, seeing if it's worth for us doing another, rebuilding the dock, in other words, because in order to rebuild it, we're going to need the upper landowner to work with us. There was a bit back and forth. He was a bit concerned about his view being blocked, which I understand. We put some numbers together, Aaron and I are working on that, and what I would like to do is bring the committee back together and go over what that means, and that is Jim and Jeff, I believe.
Yeah,
so probably set up something here in the next couple weeks for us to go over what that mean. Is it worth it? I think in the long run, we're not going to make money on that. We may have to subsidize if we go that route. But it is something we have to look at into the future. Is it needed? Yes, because we just don't have enough space for a mortgage for commercial. Would that mean for any money? No, the board probably would have to subsidize it for many years. And where we would get the money from to rebuild that most likely would have to be a loan. So those are the type of things that we'll be addressing.
Take it for a look.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one, a big one for me right now, because we have a Maritime Administration grant that is due today at 2:00, so we're down to the wire. I've been working with Rachel from Sequoia, our grant writer, to get this going. She put together a pretty nice grant. We're kind of going back and forth on this because originally we wanted just to bring the 9 acres and get that ready. We put together, we added to our budget about $170,000 for that grading. And the concept of grading that and being ready is that we have more control of the site and can use for future customers. But every time I talk to a customer that is intending to use the site, the question always comes up, who's going to operate it, you know? And we had a discussion in the past with other third-party operators that would lease the property from us. It gives us a little bit less control. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet what's going to come out of this, but we are talking to folks. There is a forest industry company that we are talking to, and that company actually gave a letter of interest for the grant. And it's more of a matter of, do we have the equipment to operate that if that comes? I also, with the Wave Energy and OSU has provided a letter of support for that, because that may be useful for it. And when it comes down to it, there's a couple loaders and a couple of yard trucks. And that was a suggestion from the person who runs MARAD up in the regional area in Seattle, as we're talking, because there's a minimum of $1 million request, even though I always make fun of this, because it's like, this is supposed to be for small ports. It's a porting infrastructure grant that's designated for small ports, so a big port cannot apply, and this is why we have more opportunity here, and there's a good chance of us getting it, because the big ports would not be able to apply, just the small ports. And as far as nationwide, we are a small port. maybe in the area we're a medium-sized port, but if you compare with the real big ports, we're not a big port. And actually, the big port has a lot to do also with the cargo, how much cargo you have. Mm-hmm. And we right now, we don't have any cargo, so we're most definitely a small port. This, again, there are a lot of people we need to talk to moving forward. We're going to need to talk with the fishermen as to the use of the site. And we don't have right now an actual business where we have negotiated anything. We are talking. We're in discussions. But this is like the chicken and the egg. You know, we can either prepare ourselves, be ready, and have control of what goes on in the site, and have those customers when they ask. A couple customers I talked to recently that they're asking, well, who's going to operate that, you know? And that doesn't mean the port necessarily will be the one operating, but it will be our equipment, and we have control of it. And then we may have to have discussions with the union. We may have to, you know, so there are a lot of things, you know, in case people are listening to this and went, well, they haven't talked to me yet. Well, we don't have anything. But this is an opportunity that just came up, and it's like you either take it or leave it. It's a chance of putting a $2.5 million grant, but that means we have to come up with 20%. And we only have 170. 20% of the grant that we're looking to is $500,000. There is a chance that we may not need the $260,000 we put aside for removing the dredge material if we find a buyer. So it may end up being zero cost to us. If not, there's a chance of us getting a loan through Business Oregon, or even a small grant, not for the entire 500, but and there are, we do have some money we can shuffle around, but we most likely we need to amend the budget to reflect that, if should we get the grant. So right now, we need to let them know that we are committing to provide the 20% match should we get the grant. There's a letter that I all this came in last minute, that's why it's not attached. If we don't need an approval, but at least an understanding that if we sign a letter that we don't want what happened a few years ago with the Tiger event to happen again, where we can't find it. The last time, I believe, we couldn't find a match. This time, it's more of a matter of, like, can we commit ourselves if we get this, apply for this grant, that we will find a way to make those funds available. So I just looking at you two for either your support, or otherwise we won't apply for this grant. It's ready to go with a click of a button, and then a letter from maybe Jim. So it's your call, whether we apply for this or not. It's just an opportunity. Things could happen, and we could get the equipment and just do the grading and not have the customer.
Right.
But I think the chances will increase to get a customer if we have it. Any questions?
This is a good discussion point for the commission to talk about the pros and cons. I think it's fairly progressive. It's future thinking, so mm-hmm. it's a lot of merit. Listen to them. I'll chat about it a little bit. Hilly, any thoughts?
I was just thinking with the graded, I do think we will have better opportunity and we'll be able to maybe draw in more interest, and then we'll be able to choose what will best fit for it. And so I think having it ready gives us opportunity, and a lot of times money has to go out in order to find that opportunity. So mm-hmm.
That's correct. That's the thing.
So this would also cover some equipment purchases?
Yeah, so basically the grading part would be the small part.
Right.
And most of the cost that would be the equipment, which comes up to just a little bit over $2.1 million. We thought about maybe fencing some of the small areas for materials, and so people feel like there's some security there. So we included about 3 acres of fencing. At this point in time, we're not looking into paving just yet, because that comes with a lot more permitting attached to it. The way we have it right now, just grading, we talked to the city, and it seems like it's not that much work. We do have some wetlands in this site, which we already ran in by both the Department of State Lands and the Army Corps of Engineers, who usually have jurisdiction over the wetlands. But in this one, they didn't feel like they have any jurisdiction over. Therefore, we can fill it without having to go through a major litigation. So that's
a good thing.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
Would there be restrictions on the equipment? Would it have to be dedicated to that facility, or would it be?
That equipment should be dedicated to that property and has to be an American purchase equipment.
I'd just like to make sure we have a budget for maintenance on that equipment.
And that's
the nice thing about the grants is we get the equipment, but then we don't at least have to maintain it once we get it.
Yeah. That is correct. Obviously, as we have equipment, like every equipment that we have, we got to maintain it. One of the things that Aaron thought would be nice is to include maybe a building. I think if we start throwing in too much stuff right now in the grant, then our chances will be limited, but maybe moving forward, it is something we want to consider too. It's just like a shelf building with covering the equipment. But yes, without a doubt, every time you purchase equipment, you got to think, it's like they say, it's the price of getting a puppy. It doesn't stay there. But I believe we, the way I look at it, well, if we don't have a customer, that's a bit more of a problem, but if we have a customer, obviously that covers price of maintaining equipment and price of maintaining the pavement from the back and forth, because ultimately we have a cost attached to driving trucks in there within our facilities now, and that helps cover the price of replacing the pavement and things like that. So for the yard, for the terminal.
So at a minimum, it's $1 million at our kind of where we're at now is 2.1 for.
2.1 foot of the equipment,
yeah.
Plus the fencing, plus the grading. So we're looking into just short of $2.5 million. So again, just looking for some consensus that we're okay to move forward in applying for this grant, with the concept that if we get it, we would be willing to put in the 20%. Again, it's not a commitment at this point, but I just don't want to turn the grant down if we are if we get it.
What's the timeline for the announcement of the award?
Oh, that's a good question. If I don't mistake, I think that was. It's a pretty quick turnaround. We're now in July. I think it's in September.
So we have to have that money at that time?
It's within this fiscal year. It's definitely, I should have written down and brought it to you the actual timeline, but I know it's within this fiscal year, so for sure we would definitely need to amend our budget to reflect that. And the grading for the site is also within this year. And as I talk about the next item, I'll also touch up on the grading of that site too. So we'll go from there. But I'm just looking for any opposition to the us to move forward with this. If that is any concerns.
Jeff, Mike just went off. I'd love to hear your thoughts, Jeff.
Can't hear you, Jeff.
Hold on, Jeff. Our volume's down. We got you. Thank you.
Okay. Jeff.
So anytime you can get a grant for 80% of the project cost, that's a good thing. And there's probably lots of questions we'll have that can't be answered. There's not a project, there's not a committed customer, there's not a lot of things that we could really get questions answered that we would have or that the public would have. But this seems like a good opportunity, even with those questions and question marks. One thought that just occurred to me as we were talking, is there any problem with us sort of indicating a consensus when this wasn't noted as a decision point in the meeting notice?
Well, basically, we're not really asking for an approval. It's just a consensus, and it was an item that I did put it in my report. So it's really your guys' call. Unfortunately, the way this came together, we didn't really have time to add it to. We made a decision that we're going to apply for this after the agenda was out, and the reality is we have a deadline, so it's not like we can wait until the next meeting. So it's your call.
I can't think of opposition.
Okay, I believe it sounds like we have a consensus in the room to move forward on this 80% granting opportunity.
All right, appreciate that. Along with the with the grading of the site, one of the conversations we also have been having is the possibility of bringing the salt ships back in Qingdao. I know there's been some controversies in the past. There's still some conversation to be had. We don't have anything ironed out yet. If we do, it's not going to be an ongoing thing. There's no competition with anyone as far as, you know, the charters and folks like that. And we would like to, once we have a better idea, if anything, is bringing them into the mix. Maybe they have some opportunities as well. And Jim and I met with the person who runs the tall ships. It so happens that she moved to Oregon here recently, and she came and visited with us. And we were talking about the ins and outs of doing this. If we do it, most likely it will be just about a year from now in the summer when the fishing boats are out of the terminal, and maybe we do it at the terminal because we're not dealing with parking issues and competing with the commercial users at the docks. And if we get our grading done this year like it's scheduled to do at the 9 acres, that can be the overflow parking or the general parking for the folks, and then the people involved with this project can park closer to the terminal. The idea is maybe to do more than just the tall ships, but also some seafood festival type thing, and involve a lot of the maritime, you know, folks in general, including fishermen and everybody else. We're going to be having some conversations with the folks that are running the Blue Economy group, because we're talking about doing something like that this year. Seems like it's getting harder and harder to get going. Maybe we'll do it next year along with this. Concept is maybe having, I don't know, 3 to 5 ships here, and we'll see which ones can fit under the bridge. Yeah, so she's looking into it. Of course, there are some concerns, you know, we need to figure out gangways for them to access the vessels
right.
through the international terminal, which we don't have that right now because the ships will be sitting much lower than, you know, so there are a few logistics that we have to deal with. We're looking into this being a much larger project than we ever had probably, but maybe to showcase our port and our town to folks in the regional area. So obviously we're gonna need a lot of sponsors, a lot of people. We're gonna need to start talking to folks to see if this is even feasible. But maybe Jim wants to say something about what his take from our meeting.
Sure. A couple of key things compared to past tall ship events we've had here or underway here. This will be entirely at NIT. It'll be a duration of 3 to 4 days, so it's very succinct. Mm-hmm. The group's very mission-driven. They're very much into education outreach of the history behind the ships, the maritime trades. They're interested in the science in our community, especially if we have the WAVE project up there, but we have NOAA, OSU. They're interested in the fishing, the rich fishing history, the Maritime Museum. So it's their mission is very much education. It's a pretty interesting group that's very tied to the history of maritime trade, and the fact that tall ships were built near here in the past is a good tie. It's very much worth pursuing. They didn't bring us much as far as financials, and the business side of the proposition was a little bit vague, but that's to come next. So I think it's worth entertaining, and when we see that and kind of look at how cost sharing, profit sharing, and what it looks like to us and potentially looks like to us, but I think it could be a really good event for the Port of Newport.
Yeah, and we are working with another gentleman that came up with this whole idea that he's willing to really get going on the sponsorship, the with, you know, folks, the contact folks out there. They already had worked with it in the past, so hopefully we can figure this out, have a good layout. We're probably talking about maybe, if we're going to move forward with this, see where we are in August and then maybe in September, if we decide to move forward, bring a contract with them to commission. If that's, we will need a lot of partners. That's what it comes down to. And we probably will need to put together a committee of folks that would be interested in managing how this will move forward. Port will be the one running with it, but we certainly can designate a lot of people to take on this as well. I don't know if there's any concerns, or obviously we don't have much to go by now, but.
Yeah, I think it's worth investigating further.
Is this the same group as the former one, or is it different?
It's the tall ships. It's not the same ships that have been here in the past. It could be. I think it was the Lady Washington and some other. I think this is not going to be dealing directly with the vessels, but with the tall ship association group, which is a nonprofit. So let's see here. Well, besides that, there was a lot of shift in the staff. As you know, Karen has left us to move out of state, and I would like to introduce you to Gloria Tucker. She's our new administrative assistant, and she's replacing Karen, and she comes with some background on recording and things like that at the city of Newport. So we stole her from the senior people. Sorry. And welcome, Gloria. And today's her first day. So I told her, just come to observe the meeting, you know. And let's see here. We also we have promoted Erica Brees to the New RV Park Manager. We also lost. With Perry and Ross Bill to, you know, they both move out of state. And Kent Gibson is on the leave right now, and when he gets back, he is basically going to be the person helping Angel Burke, our new harbor master, to wrap it up and until he goes on retirement. So he's going to be doing his final training to her, and I want to congratulate Asia as well for her new position. It just made sense. She has the skills, and we always try to open the positions internally before we go out, and we just thought that she fit perfectly to this position. So we're happy to have her as our new harbor master. As I mentioned here, we still pretty much on top of the finances, thanks to Mark. We stay pretty tight with things. We're also going through some process right now to get a new financial system, and he got us $10,000 to help with that. It's much bigger than that, the price. So today, you know, I need $10,000 help. I try to be participate on that selection, but the timing has been crazy. But just the one that I observe, I can tell you, it will make the board so much more efficient in every aspect, because it's a financial management system in general. That's sort of what we're looking at it, and it can help the people on the administrative side, accounting side, all the way to the operational side. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a huge change to what we do here right now. As you know, we have been extremely busy here at the recreational side. We do get calls every so often from folks complaining, why don't you open the old ramp, or, you know, what are you going to do about parking? And it's a difficult one, especially this past couple weeks. We had Halibut and a salmon running at the same time, and I tell you, this is the busiest we've ever been, And a good part of it's because COVID has just got a lot of people out. And my apologies, folks, that we're not 100% ready to support the capacity that we've been receiving. But capacity is capacity. You know, there's only so much we can do. Some things we are trying to make it better. And we'll keep working on that throughout the years. Some stuff we just can't. When this marina was built for a much smaller number of people. Definitely, they didn't think much about parking when they built this. So parking is an issue. And even if we open up the old ramp, which is not that easy because there's, you know, environmental concerns, mitigation, all types of things an issue attached to that. But if even if we did, we would have to find parking for everyone. You know, parking continues being a problem. And we'll continue trying to address that as much as we can and make that happen. So I don't know if you have any concerns or about, you know, some of you may have gotten calls. I know there's some issues also in the play tables. We are continuing working with several people right now trying to get funds for additional tables, and we'll continue addressing that. We have been talking to people that use the tables to make sure everybody understands, you know, what their rights are. And as I said, Michelle here, we're working with a whole bunch of people going after grants. Business Oregon, ODFW, MURAD, EDA, and we'll continue working on that. Finally, we also are down to the nitty-gritty here and getting out for bid on the admin building. As you see attached to my report, we have a letter from the Business Oregon saying that they have awarded us a loan. So whenever we're ready, we can finalize that contract. Obviously, we're not going to accept that until we make sure that the bid comes within an amount that is agreeable by the commissioners. That's pretty much it. Another board, I attended the aquarium board just as an observer this last Saturday. Next meeting will be in October, and I think it's quarterly meetings and mostly the weekends. And I told Carrie that, yeah, I'll be happy to be part of that unless I have any technical issue. Of course, I'll be representing the board and the board.
I did have some stuff. So on the crowding, you know, I think maybe go with FAQ sheet because there's a lot of misinformation out there about what's going on with the old ramp. And to be honest with the people, and just say there is no new ramp. You know, we have what we have.
Yeah.
And you know, I see a lot of it online, and I know you get a lot of calls, and I get the same question. And you know, frankly, it's the same story. And if we could get a little bit of, you know, bullet points on there that, you know, we cannot build another ramp, and just end the discussion there, because the reason we have the new ramp is because of the event center. And if we were to build a new ramp, we would have to get the money back for that, for the new ramp. And, you know, get that out there for the people, because, you know, it becomes a story upon itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we understand that we are the busiest port, and there's not much we can do about that. I mean, we don't have 16 lanes of traffic in Portland, and, you know, there's maybe a dozen days out of the year where it's capacity, and, you know, people just have to understand that when we're at capacity, and, you know, we can't create more room, and, you know, financially, it doesn't make sense to flatten half fields so people
just
can park
so
we
can have 2 weeks out of the year. Yeah, absolutely right.
And just put that out there. And, you know, if you want to sit down with Tom Mann, Yes, he was here for that too.
Mm-hmm.
We can just say, look, you know, this is what's going on with the sport arena. You know, we're sorry that we're busy. You know, we're sorry that we have the nicest park in the state. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? And it's a growing industry.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll work something with Angela on getting something out there, maybe on Facebook, and even maybe on a part of the, our next newsletter as well. Just get some clarify some information to folks that and people have a lot of expectation, and we would love to do a lot of things to help people, but it got to make sense. You know, you have to put the money where it makes sense. And right now, as you said, it's the capacity is the capacity so high, so there's just so much you can do. But
and I know people say that there's not enough room for the further boats in their trailers there at the park. We had nothing to do with that. I mean, if you didn't know, the state rating board just said, here's a blueprint, they stuck it there, and that's.
Oh, sorry.
We had no choice on that design. I'm not sure it would have been better. You know, we knew it was backwards, and we had some recent issues when we first knew it, but we had no choice because that was what they handed us. So.
Okay. One last thing, actually, and that again came after the agenda was out. I did receive a letter from the folks with the initiatives here. The West Coast Seafood Processors Association about reintroduction of otters in the bay. And they're asking for us to sign a letter that is basically to reconsider that due to how much that will interfere with most of the business here in this particular community, because it's all related to seafood processing, seafood fishing, and so on and so forth. I instead of just signing the letter, I want to make sure that you guys are in support of us to go ahead and sign the letter in support of the reconsideration of the introduction of otters into our bay. So I don't know if you want me to. I'll be happy to post this letter once you know into the agenda and into the packet once it's processed.
Any comments on that?
Yeah, I there's a huge impact to our seafood industry, and I acknowledge that. I think what isn't put in here and what we need to stress is the possible impacts of loss of access to areas. I know Jim, you deal with that, and I have friends down in Monterey, and wildlife disturbance is a big issue, and there can be restrictions to boat traffic, whether it's recreational, commercial, or even kite surfing and paddle boarding.
Mm-hmm.
And until those issues are ironed out, I don't think we can support that because of the impact to people that use our facilities.
You cannot support this letter?
Yeah, no, support
the audit.
I'm very much in favor of signing,
yeah,
but there's
some
unintended consequences
that
aren't highlighted, and you don't just put them there.
Yeah, no.
My wife works for Fish and Wildlife Service, and there have been otters that popped up here once occasionally,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing that people want to do is go see them, and
yeah.
that's not allowed, and the Coast Guard and the Sheriff have to tell people to get away from them, you can't disturb them.
So it creates a whole...
It could lead to restricted areas, mm-hmm. lack of access, and that's just not well-intentioned reintroduction, I understand, but before this happens, we need to know all the possible impacts and any surprises and unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So this is all at the feasibility study level right now.
So, does anyone have anything against me signing this letter? No.
I'm going to pull myself out of that just due to my occupation with the aquarium and other conversations that are had at that level.
So, being on the commercial side, I don't know that affects, I mean, if I, there's any kind of discrepancy there, you know, because it does affect us personally, so I don't know if I should, you know, be saying too much either. So I don't know where that goes. I just know that as a port, it will change. I mean, we have the sport fishing.
Yeah, I think that we support it.
It's huge, and that would change. So the port side, I won't say anything about the commercial side. But
well, as long as I don't have anyone here, any of the fishers, that says, no, I have a problem with that. I did want to just go ahead and sign this report from the port for the West Coast Seafood, before getting your input. So.
Jeff has a comment.
I'm just looking at the feasibility study and the letter just saying that, hey, here's some things you probably should be looked at in the feasibility study for what you're really looking at. As Walter said, kind of trying to project some long-term consequences that can occur. It's not saying, it's not an advocacy letter to do X, Y, or Z and saying, hey, these are things you really should be in the feasibility study. It seems like a very reasonable thing to do.
Okay, Barry, any other questions? I think I'm done. If you have any questions on the directors or finance, I think I've tried to add some of their items into my report, but if you have anything else, Mark is here to answer his question. Aaron is not here today, but I can try to answer any questions you have.
One question for Mark, the budget hearing for NOAA, if you want to do that early. Under the capital maintenance fund, there's a resolution and we'll need to do a supplemental budget. You just mentioned you're going to do that early in this fiscal year. So.
Yeah, that's correct. And if we have to do the budget for this other grant anyway, we'll just combine the two, right. Try to make it all in one shot.
Maybe do it as a before or after monthly meeting.
Yeah,
or lunch, I think.
That's what I would.
That would be ideal.
Ideal.
So it should be relatively quick.
Yeah. Especially the fact that now we're meeting in person. So, any other questions?
I don't have any questions. Commissioner reports. I know with Paula, but she had stated that already regarding tall ships. Calendar for future considerations, Cast for Kids, August 14th, that's a great thing. Next meeting will be on August 24th at 6 o'clock. We do not have any public comment, and it is 1:26, and I'd like to adjourn the Board of New Park regular monthly meeting.